don't need me? All right. I'll go to Jenna's show. I can still make it, I think.
Probably could. It's still an hour off. Should we do a podcast?
Yeah, I think we better head.
Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts...
Salsa.
James.
And Brianna.
Woo!
Woo! Yay! Wait, I'm actually a host?
And special drinks.
Yay!
Yay!
I mean, special enough.
Yep.
Yeah, during...
No, you are... I guess that officially makes you third host for
an
episode.
Sweet.
Yeah. Guest host.
Ha.
Yeah.
Take that.
Guest hostest with the guest mostest.
I win.
Guest hostess. Swiss cake roll?
Twinkie.
Cosmic brownie.
Ooh.
Yes.
Star Crunch is a Little Debbie thing, but Star Crunch.
I don't care.
That's like, fair.
It could
they're
be Hostess, it could be Little Debbie, it could be... I don't care.
They're all in the same category.
Yeah, they're all...
I just knew that...
Super fluffy, terrible for you, but
if
delicious.
If you put them in a bowl at a party, they would all get to get along just fine.
Somewhere, pedantic Eric would be like, I can't fucking sleep right now.
Yeah, like, I don't... Like, Ho-Hos, yes, I will eat those.
Yeah.
Twinkies, yes, I will eat those. I don't care who made them.
They're not going to fight.
No.
Oh, man.
They can't because they're too fluffy and weak.
Oh, man. Now I want to watch Twinkies fight it out.
Have you ever watched Peep Jousting?
Yeah.
That's pretty
good.
Peep Jousting is great.
What?
It is.
This is a thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
So what you do is you take two peeps. The chicken ones, not the bunny ones.
No,
it's got to be the chicken ones.
Yeah, the bunny ones are worth
it. Okay.
Because they've got to stand upright.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then you stick a toothpick through their chests.
Yeah. What? Oh, what?
No, you just
no,
just
ow.
Follow, no, just,
okay.
Like
tuck it under their wing.
Yeah, or
okay,
but,
that
know,
makes me feel better.
They've
got to hold it.
They've got a toothpick sticking out the front, okay? And you put them on a plate in a microwave. And what happens to a marshmallow in a microwave?
It expands.
Exactly. So they expand and they expand and they expand, and then one of them will puncture the other one with the toothpick.
Yes.
And then you eat them?
And then you eat them. Yeah, of course.
It's like Thunderdome, but they both die.
Yeah.
Yay.
But one wins. And then they're both devoured.
But, okay, so whichever one wins, you put that against another one, right?
No, it's dead at this point.
This isn't a competition to see which M&M is the strongest.
Yeah. Once you have microwaved a peep once, it's...
Have you tried?
Yes. Have you ever seen one after it's been microwaved?
Have you done this a second time? Do you know if it would work?
It has...
Have you tried?
It has joined the choir beyond.
It is an ex-peep! We should drink something.
Yes, we should.
Nailed to the perch, it'd be pushing up the daisies. So I encountered a flavor of Red Bull that Salsa is less likely to hate.
Doubtful.
He's still going to hate
it. It's still Red Bull.
It is still Red Bull.
So I am also going to hate it.
Possibly.
All right.
But I don't know. I find it delicious.
All right.
I think it's far more palatable than regular Red Bull.
That's not an endorsement.
And that's what we're drinking?
This has grenadine in it.
There we go. What grenadine is...
So it's
and
just...
ours has whiskey.
Oh, there we go. Thank you.
All right.
What do you call it?
I don't know yet. I thought we would come up with something.
Oh, okay.
Maybe like a parable.
Am I drinking this thing or not?
Yeah.
Okay,
do
thank
it.
You. I gotta say, parable is a pretty good pun for
Thanks.
What this is.
Thanks.
Nope.
Not,
Like, the front of it, when it hits my tongue, it's like, oh, that's very refreshing. And then I get the back of just, like, the Red Bull-iness, and I'm like...
I mean, that's also the fact that it's sugar-free.
Yeah.
Nope. Oh, God. Nah.
It just gets worse the further back in my mouth it goes.
Hmm.
Okay, so Are you one of those people that can tell when something is sugar-free or not?
I don't know. I never consume sugar-free things.
You just did.
Like, on purpose.
Oh.
So, like, the difference between regular and diet soda. Can you tell the difference?
I don't know.
So...
I can.
You can?
I consume soda, like, 3 times a year.
I mean, at this point, I've basically stopped drinking soda completely by accident, but... I can feel sugar-free, like fake sugars, coating my mouth and my tongue, and it makes me feel more thirsty.
Hmm.
I don't know what it is about them, and is that's what I'm talking about. Like, I'm actually getting hoarse from
mouth.
Yep, like I can feel my voice going because of it. Yep. Hold on.
Well,
get some water in her.
Now I know.
Yep. Yeah. So I started doing research into it because my friends were giving me shit about this, and they were convinced that I was overreacting. And one, sugar-free stuff, specifically sucralose and aspartame, are connected to migraines.
Mm.
Yeah.
And then those two things also are what's that thing that tastes like soap? I'm losing the word.
Cilantro?
Cilantro. They have an effect like cilantro where a portion of the population, it like reacts to their taste buds in a way that makes them feel like they can't taste things after having them.
Yeah. Because it tastes like you've got a mouthful of Suave hairspray.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's actually what's going on for me, but, like, I can tell the second I've had something sugar-free. Like, I'll take a sip, and I'll be like, that has sucralose in it. Like, I can just know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't realize that it was a migraine trigger. I would have picked almost anything else. Yeah.
Well.
Now you know. Science.
Now I do know. Yeah.
Definitely not have her consume the rest of it.
Yeah. I'll help.
Ha.
Yeah.
I figured you would.
I helped.
That's okay. I'll just have Fireball instead.
Yeah. I'm down.
Which people also give me shit for, but...
Yeah.
Why?
Because apparently it's ridiculous that I enjoy Fireball.
Why?
That's what I say. Fireball is delicious.
Mm-hmm.
The entire Morris camp laughs at me for it.
Yeah, I don't get it. I think it's amazing.
I guess... Whether I think something is good or not doesn't matter. I don't know.
I mean, it matters to me.
Have I ever told you the story of the giant bottle of Fireball at the Morris camp?
Nope.
Nope.
Oh. So, my first season out at Renfest, there was this giant bottle of Fireball. They have a table of booze that they share with folks. And this giant bottle of Fireball was about half full, and they said it had been there for like 4 or 5 years, and no one there drinks Fireball.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, okay, if you're willing to share this, I don't bring alcohol out to Fest. I'll come out and I'll have some every night. So I would have just a little bit of Fireball each night, and probably more than I should have on some nights. but I ended up with, by the end of the season, I think it was sixth weekend, me and a couple other folks managed to finish off that bottle.
Oh, wow.
And we were like, yay, we took care of it for you. Isn't that great? Now you don't have to pack that up and take it home. And we come out Friday night, and it's still gone, a final weekend. Saturday morning, we wake up and hear someone from the Morris camp yell, "Son of a!" and go up there, and there is a brand new, full, giant bottle of Fireball on the table. And to this day, they don't know where it came from.
That's awesome. It sounds similar to the bottle of Dr. McGillicuddy's at at the Dragon's Den.
Hmm.
I've heard of that.
Yeah, I got a bottle of mint Dr. McGillicuddy's.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, it's just kind of there, and whenever somebody opens it, then everybody else has to
duty go bound
around once, and it just... it's just kind of there, and nobody knows why it's there, and nobody knows who brought it.
Fuck.
And then
every year,
yeah, it just like lives out there for most of the year, and then at the end, you know, Fest comes around and they pull it out from under the platform, and yeah. There are some weird Fest rituals.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
It's coming.
Have I ever told you about the Keystone Light game?
No.
No, or the Natty Ice? It's they're both not good beers.
I mean, I recently was informed of the existence of Natty Ice.
It's not as bad as Beer 30, so...
What is Beer 30?
Beer 30 is the cheapest beer on the planet.
Oh. I've used to work at a liquor store, and I did not realize that was actually a thing until I worked at a liquor store.
It's Beer 30 Ice. You could get a 30-pack for, like, $8.
Yep.
Like Schmidt's?
Worse.
Wow. Yep.
It was fucking pee water in a can.
Wow.
But you could get a lot of it for a really cheap price. And the beer club had a competition for the longest time to try to find the worst beer. And and that was... That was it.
Well, I know what's going to replace Keystone and Natty Ice. Around the frat house, people would hide cans of Natty Ice or Keystone Light. So you would go to, like, pull a cup off of the shelf or something like that, and there would be a can of beer in it.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, if you find it...
You have to drink it.
You have 24 hours to drink it.
Well, that's not... as bad as I thought it would be. I thought it was going to be like an hour.
Because the thing is, it used to be. It used to be when you find it, you have to chug it. But
I feel like there's responsible reasons not to do that.
Eventually there were. some rules are made because of reasons.
I'm glad it was 24 hours. That seems like it's much more reasonable.
But sometimes you would find like... many in a day?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. Or somebody would just put 5 of them in the dryer. So you would open it, and then you know what you're doing that night.
Guess I gotta finish my homework and then do all of this?
I mean... honestly, if you're looking for refreshment during homework... terrible beer isn't bad. It makes the homework a lot more palatable.
I feel like you and I had very different college experiences.
Did you graduate?
Not the first time.
But you do have a degree.
Eventually.
So our college experiences are very different.
I didn't get that until, 3 years ago?
Yeah?
Yep.
Oh. Congratulations, by the way.
Thanks.
I'm thinking about going for my degree as well. But I don't know in what.
Do you know what mine is in?
What? Is it in theater?
No.
Oh.
Do you know, Salsa?
Hmm?
Do you know what my degree is in?
67 degrees.
Psychology.
That makes sense.
Yep.
Well, that makes a weird kind of sense, yeah.
Right? I love being able to say that I have a BS in psychology.
Speaking of 67 degrees, that's the temperature where it was, was at.
Oh, it begins.
For the last 2 weeks.
Damn. All right.
I'm going to need this drink.
Yep.
Damn right you
are.
Hey,
do you want to pour me some Fireball?
Yeah.
I was born in a small farming community.
I'm just a backcountry space chicken.
Go on, Salsa. Go on.
Fast forward 30 some years. 7? How old am I? Yeah.
Really?
Something like 30. Yes, 37. Fast forward 37 years.
He's only 37?
And his jokes are so much older than
I know, right?
Right?
The story is getting older by the minute. Is
Is it good?
Yeah.
Just whatever's in that glass, the fireball will kill it.
So oh, I assume. But.
So anyway, yeah, I was in Ireland for the past couple weeks, and it was a fucking amazing. Goddamn. Oceanic climates are amazing. It was seriously like 67 degrees there the whole time, and I was so happy. Like, it got up above 70 degrees like twice, and I was just so happy. And this is the thing. My wife and I are in a pub in Dublin, and we're asking the bartender, you know, what's good on the menu. And again, it's 70 degrees, okay? Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, well, you know, the lamb stew is really, really good here, but...
Fucking wow.
He says, the lamb stew is really good, but in this heat, I would recommend something else, you know? Just like, hold on, pause, stop. Did you just say in this heat? And he's like, yeah. What? I'm not joking. It was 70 degrees. And they thought that we were going through a heat wave.
I mean, 70 degrees is gross.
What?
It was. I told them what the temperature was here. Ugh. On the same day. It was like 94 or something like that. Ugh. Here. And yeah. He was just like, how do you live like that? And I'm like, I don't
That's
know.
That's a great question, yeah.
I don't know how people...
I don't. I opened my weather app, and it's the emoji of the vomiting face with a degree sign after it.
Some people like this. I don't understand it at all.
They're just lizards in disguise.
I don't get it. I really don't. These people
I've
like
met some lizards. They're good people.
Well, I'm not saying they're bad people. I'm just saying that to enjoy this heat, you must be a lizard in disguise.
So I had the lamb stew, and it was fucking amazing. But yeah, the temperature was just so good the whole time we were there.
So also, you forgot to bring me with.
I didn't forget. Aww. I just didn't bring you with.
Oh.
Try with a little fireball.
Must I?
For science.
You must.
Dare.
Ah, it tastes like Fireball. With pear Red Bull in the back.
Yep.
Do you like Fireball?
Yes.
Okay.
But I just don't like pear Red Bull.
Oh, is that what the flavor was?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Hey, have some.
Mm-hmm. No, so my wife and I got into Galway.
I will.
And I drove on the other side of the road with a stick shift. And holy shit.
Nice.
Holy shit.
I'm glad you're alive.
Because, holy shit. they don't believe that roads should have shoulders in Ireland.
Right.
Roads don't have shoulders. There is just, instead of a shoulder, where the line would be is just a wall. A stone wall.
Yeah.
Or a hedge.
That sounds like Pittsburgh.
And, like, my wife was like, she was sitting in the passenger seat, and she was like, oh, because they also don't believe in air conditioning over there. we've got the windows down, and she's just like, oh, I'm going to stick my hand out the window. And she's like, you can't do that here. You can't stick your hand out the window, because it'll just, you'll encounter a stone wall, and you'll just...
Lose a hand.
You lose a hand, yeah. Because it's just right next to the car. And then the roads get narrower.
Okay.
And narrower. And then the center lane disappeared. The center dotted line goes away.
And so now then you're driving down a single lane road.
You're driving down a single lane road. And it's windy and twisty. And you're going up and down and
there's
side to side.
There's oncoming traffic.
And you can't see what's around the curve because there's a fucking hedge. You're driving through a tunnel. And you're twisting around. And then you see like the speed limit sign comes by. And it's like 80 kilometers an hour. And you're like, who the fuck is driving 80 kilometers an hour down this road? And then the locals encounter you and you're like, oh, they do.
Yeah.
But yeah.
As they're passing you in two lanes.
Yeah. It's just, but like, it's a one lane road.
Yeah.
And it's kind of cool how they do this because basically it's a lane. And then every 500 yards or so, the road just gets a little bit wider. And you're driving down the road, and two cars, you see each other. Whoever gets to that wide spot first just stops.
Yeah.
And then you pass each other at that wide spot, and then off you go.
I mean, that
no
sounds
thing.
Nerve-wracking, but
yeah,
it's not terrible.
But it's just like, and if there's not a wide spot there, you just both slow down really slow and do the car equivalent of shouldering past each other.
the worst part is when you both cut off to the same side, and then you have to, like, back and forth on the sidewalk.
Like, I got used to the idea of being in the left lane fairly quickly, but the thing that doesn't leave you is because you're usually in the left side of the car.
Mm-hmm.
Here in this country,
mm-hmm.
you are used to aligning yourself on the left edge of the lane.
Sure.
And so you're just driving down the road and you're not really thinking about it. And suddenly you realize on the right side of the car is like 4 feet of lane. And on the right side or on the left side of the car, you're like over the line.
Hmm.
Because you're just subconsciously aligning your physical self on the left edge of the lane instead of the right edge.
And just driving down the middle of the street like an asshole.
Exactly. So
story checks out.
So I was hugging one of the edges Aww. Of the lane a lot.
I thought you didn't like hugs.
Not from you.
But from me?
Oh, of course.
Yay.
But anyway, so yeah, that was truly terrifying. And then so we're driving from Shannon and we drove north and then like you said, you've got either a stone wall or a hedge on both sides of you, and suddenly that disappears, and you're in the burn. And
The burn?
Fucking amazing. The burn.
The burn?
B-U-R-R-E-N.
The burn.
And the burn comes from the Gaelic anbarin. And the Gaelic...
Which is a small drum with little cymbals.
Stop talking. Gaelic place names are very literal. Anbarin means... stony place.
Well, all right.
And the burn is that. It is natural geological formations. It's limestone that has fractured over thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of how many years. So the whole landscape is just split white rock.
Hmm.
With, like, grass growing between... like little scrub grass growing between the splits. And it is fucking breathtaking. It is so beautiful, and you look at pictures and you go, oh, okay, and then you're there, oh, yeah. And you're, wow.
Pictures rarely do justice.
It was truly I literally said the words, I have no words, to my wife like 7 times. Because brain just exploded. I was in awe. It was gorgeous. I was also sleep deprived, so that might have had something to do with it. Because I had been awake for well over 24 hours at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was amazing. And then we drove by Father Ted's house, which is always a bonus.
I saw the picture. It looks like you were very excited.
So happy. I was a little happy salsa.
A little happy salsa?
I was a very little happy salsa.
So salsa became a chibi.
That seems right.
So
Oh, we're getting pictures. We are getting pictures.
No, I'm just showing you an idea of what the landscape looks like where I was. In fact, this might even be one of the mountains I saw. Yeah. So it's just this like I said, this split rock with little scrub grass.
Is that your car?
No. Anyway, so then we got into Galway, and Galway was pretty fucking cool. And I had my pint there, and we went into the city center, and it was good. But the next day, we went to the Aran Islands, and we got to take a ferry out to the Aran Islands. And so we took a day tour out to the Aran Islands, okay? You get on a bus in Galway, they bus you out there to the Aran Islands, you take a ferry to the islands. On the ferry ride back, you go to the Cliffs of Moher, and then you get back on the bus, and then you drive to the top of the Cliffs of Moher. And the whole day was just absolutely amazing, and our bus driver was an absolute card. But we get out to the pier in Dooley, and the waves are pretty big. Like, it was, the sea was, it wasn't an angry sea, but it definitely wasn't a calm sea. It was some pretty good waves. On the way out there, our tour guide has been telling us about the new ferry out to the Aran Islands. It's a new boat purchased like last year. You know, it makes the trip out to the islands in 15 minutes. You know, we get there and, you know, to the dock, and we're standing on the dock waiting for the ferry. And there's like two or three tour groups in front of us in line. And, you know, the ferry comes into the harbor, and it's riding these waves like they're nothing. You know, it's just coasting right over the top of them. It's big, huge ferry, beautiful blue paint, you know, just brand spanking new. And it glides in like just an absolute dream. And people start getting on the ferry up ahead of us. And as we're watching, into the harbor comes an older ferry. Red, peeling paint, you know, just smaller, bobbing like a cork. Like, this thing is up and down and sideways. It's not handling the waves well. It just bouncing around out there. And I kind of tap my wife on the shoulder, and I point at it, and she just looks at me, and she goes, no, I don't think I could handle that. And immediately after she said that, our tour guide walks by, and he goes, okay, everybody, get out of the line, pull out of the line here. That ferry's going to be, you know, full up, so we're going to go to the other pier, and we're getting on that boat.
Yep.
So we got on that one, and we left the harbor first because it's a smaller boat, and so we filled up and before the other one even filled up, and so we leave, and it passed us on the way.
Did they flip you off as they went
by? No, it was, and honestly, it was fine, but man, I took video of the ride out there because we were bouncing.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like we were rocking with those waves, and like the boat is tipping like 30 degrees to each side, and
the still like header image for it is a wave coming up over over the starboard side and just like whoosh.
Yeah, we got soaked, and honestly the best part was this trio of women that were sitting right in front of Rayleigh and I, who were just howling with laughter. Like, this was the best thing ever. And we're getting soaked because these waves are crashing into the side of the boat and soaking
this
us.
This is normally a ride people pay for
at
theme parks.
We were having a fucking great time. It was a lot of fun, I'm not going to lie. On the way back from the islands, we got on the pretty big boat. And, like, it was fast, but it wasn't nearly as fun.
That's what she said.
But the islands were gorgeous. Spent the day out there. On the way back, we stopped at the Cliffs of Insanity. And we saw so many puffins. Tried to get pictures of puffins, but my God, they're small and fast. Hard to get a picture of them. But they were there. And so we were at the bottom of the cliffs, and then, like I said, we went back to Dooley and got on the bus and went up to the top of the cliffs and walked along the top of the cliffs. And our tour guide, he's telling us about the top of the cliffs, and he's like, okay, now, there is only one rule when you get to the Cliffs of Moher.
What is the
just
one rule?
Just one rule. It's a cliff. If I need to tell you any more than that, we're already...
You're doing us a favor.
Exactly, yeah. Like, this is like the anti-American, like, we need to put up 50 billion signs. It's like, no, it's a fucking cliff.
We would put up a guardrail, but we don't want the people who...
Just don't be an idiot. Wouldn't. Recognize that it's a fucking cliff,
right.
And we'll be happier.
Yeah.
'Cause you will not survive.
No.
No, that you no. Nope.
No, that is an extremely tall cliff, isn't it?
Well, if the fall itself doesn't kill you, the waves crashing against the cliffs will.
It's a super rocky landing.
It's a rocky landing, and there's no where you're not going to get out. Mm-hmm. You've got to swim 3 miles to the side of the cliffs in order to find a place where you could even climb out. You're done. Yeah. You're just done. Saw the Cliffs of Insanity. Took a lot of pictures. It was gorgeous. And I enjoyed that very much.
And if those things don't get you, the shrieking eels will. Okay.
Didn't hear any shrieking.
Besides the three women sitting in front of you.
They were howling with laughter. It was so much fun. And then we went to, the day after that, we went to Dublin. Mm-hmm. On the way to Dublin, we stopped at a couple distilleries. We stopped at Tullamore Dew, which was a lot of fun.
Saw the photos, bastard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Brought home a bottle of Tully's from the distillery.
Bottle of what?
Tullamore Dew.
Ooh.
Yeah. I didn't realize this at all, but Dew is an acronym. It's Tullamore D-E-W. For D.E. Williams.
Oh.
Who's apparently the, founder of Tullamore.
The D is for Dew. It's, it's redundant.
Oh, it's one of those.
It's.
And then pulling into Dublin, we stopped at Hill of Tara.
Okay.
Where the ancient kings of Ireland were crowned.
Ooh.
Saw the Stone of Destiny, where legend has it the kings of Ireland, they touch the stone will sing. I touched it; it didn't sing.
Allow surprise to wash over me before you continue. I'm
terribly disappointed about it. But it was it was legitimately stunning to be up there, because this hill rises out of the middle of the fucking plains of Ireland, and you can see for fucking ever. It just... the lady in the gift shop said you could see 14 counties from the top of this hill.
Fucking...
Yeah.
So that's where Simba was standing? That was
sure.
You know, all that you can see.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes. Absolutely.
We'll Simba. Everything the whiskey touches.
Oh, man. That's such a better kingdom.
It was so... It was so good. Dublin was... There were a lot of things to do in Dublin, and I enjoyed those a great deal, but Dublin itself was kind of a shitty town.
I mean...
It was kind of like New York. It was just kind of dirty. And
yeah.
Yeah. Just, I'm not surprised by that.
Galway was enjoyable, and my God, Killarney was... I could have spent...
Oh, that's the answer to that question.
...months in Killarney. Just absolute gorgeous.
Last week's Fast Five.
Yeah.
Killarney?
But Dublin was just kind of gross.
Killarney or Galway. Which did Salsa enjoy more? He sent us a Fast Five that was entirely about his enjoyment of Ireland. Yeah, I made the same face.
And we're going to have to go through it again, because you got to get my answers for it.
No.
But
I refuse.
Okay,
yeah. Fair enough. Question.
You think you're in charge. That's funny.
Kyle?
Are we still recording? I hope we're recording.
What did you do?
Yeah, we're recording.
Yeah, we are.
What did you do, Salsa?
So then we went to Kilkenny, and we saw our friends Jeff and Stacy.
Oh.
Stacy is a friend of ours. She was in a hurling tournament, and they won the fucking tournament.
Holy shit.
Yeah, they went all the way, and they played in Croke Park in Dublin, which is this... Croke Park is the... biggest hurling stadium in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it seats 80,000 people.
Wow.
It's holy
fucking
fuck.
Huge, and they played the final in Croke Park.
Okay, so for people such as myself who are, I want to say,
hurling
slightly
is
familiar.
A game that I would probably call a cross between lacrosse and field hockey.
I thought lacrosse and field hockey were the same.
It's possible. Lacrosse and hockey, then. Or maybe some soccer thrown in there. Basically, what you have is you have a stick called a hurley.
Okay.
And it is like a ping pong paddle with a really long handle.
Ooh.
Maybe. I guess it would be the... But that's not a good
description, but it's, I guess, the best we're going to get at the moment. Mm-hmm. And basically, you have this ball wrapped in leather, and you are not allowed to pick the ball up off the ground with your hand.
Sure.
What you have to do is scoop it up with your hurley and pop it up in the air, and then you can catch it.
Gotcha.
And you can take four strides with mm-hmm. the ball in your hand, and then you have to bounce the ball off of your hurley stick. And then you can catch it again and take another four strides. Mm-hmm. But then you have to get rid of the ball. That's all you get.
Yeah.
Now, when you're bouncing the ball off of the hurley stick, you can just balance it on the hurley stick as you run down the fucking length of the field.
Because are people trying to, like, check you?
Yeah, again, it's a contact sport.
Oh, fucking awesome.
Yeah, it is fucking action-packed. Like, there are people crashing into each other and running around, and it is intense. It is possibly one of the most intense sports I have ever seen. Like, above hockey, even.
Like, it's kind of amazing that it hasn't taken more.
Stacy broke her hand.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Literally,
I heard.
But yeah. I'm saying, like, it's amazing that the U.S. has not had more interest in this sport, given how freaking violent it can be.
It is ridiculous.
And it's because we don't have beer sponsorships for it.
No, but there could be whiskey sponsorships.
It fucking should.
It is so much fun to watch, though. Like, yeah. It is. It from the second it starts until the final whistle, it is just fucking activity.
So it's like lacrosse and rugby.
Kind of, yeah. But there are two ways to score points. Mm-hmm. You have what looks like a soccer goal. It's about the same size as a soccer goal, except the poles on the sides continue up. You have a net. A netted area at the bottom, and then you have uprights above that.
Sure.
And if you hit the ball through the uprights, it's a point. But if you get the ball in the net past the goaltender, it's 3 points.
Fuck.
So you could have a team leading by 2 points
and still suddenly lose after one goal.
Suddenly are a point behind in just one. Yeah, the dynamics are really crazy.
Quidditch for real humans.
So the way it's scored the way it's scored is the way people talk about the points is somebody will say that the team had 3 goals, 6 points. And what that means is 3 points and 6 1-points. So if somebody says this team had 3 goals and 6,
yeah,
they actually have 15 points.
Because they got 3 goals and 6 1-point.
Oh, okay. Yep. Okay, gotcha.
Yep.
So 3 goals and 6,
I see,
will lose to 1 goal and 14.
Jesus, wow.
Yeah. You have to do math while But again, and that is the really cool thing, because the players are making those decisions. Do I just go for the one point, or do I drive for those 3 points and see if I can? And it really,
there's tactics.
There's so much, just watching this sport was so much fun, so much fun. But anyway, that's why Stacy and was there, and her husband Jeff, who's good friend of ours, went along, and so we spent the day in Kilkenny hanging out with them. And we watched the professional game, the semi-final, because the finals are coming up in a couple weeks here, and we watched the semi-final game. It was Kilkenny versus Limerick, and we watched it in Kilkenny, and Stacy and Jeff are Limerick fans.
Oh shit.
No, here's the thing, this is like the opposite of soccer hooliganism.
Oh.
Everyone was super nice. Just there was one point where our waiter made a joke about you're in the wrong place, but everybody was super nice about it. And then after the game, people were like, "Oh, your team put up a really good game, but you know, we still beat you." You know,
How Minnesotan of them.
It kind of was. but here's the thing: hurling in Kilkenny is like football in Texas.
Oh,
like they have statues to it.
in their city center. It's ever like walking down the like main high street in Kilkenny. There are hurling like sports shops all over the place. Like it's huge in Kilkenny.
That's fucking awesome.
And they were just like, they were just happy that you were a fan. They didn't care if you were a Limerick fan. They were just like, you're a fan. You're one of us.
This is not an Olympic sport.
I don't know. It's
right?
So much
right?
It's fucking ridiculous. Awesome. I am absolutely 100. After watching this one game between Limerick and Kilkenny, I am 100% a fan of this sport now. And I watch everything. Because, wow. So much fun.
I would absolutely watch this.
And just hanging out with Jeff and Stacey for the day was so much fun.
Well, I mean,
we went through the main city center of Kilkenny, and we toured Kilkenny Castle, and it was just gorgeous, and you know, some of the other stuff in town. So then we parted ways, and Radley and I went to Killarney, and Killarney. This is about the point of our trip where we were starting to get a little touristied out, because you know we had already seen like three distilleries, and we'd been to I skipped everything in Dublin. We did Trinity College.
Okay,
the library.
That also answers that question.
Oh, the library. Oh, the library. The Book of Kells and the library. The Trinity College also has the symbol of Ireland in it, the Harp of Brian Boru.
Oh.
Now it's called the Harp of Brian Boru, but here's the thing. Brian Boru is like in the 1100s and this harp dates to the 1400s.
Huh.
So it's clearly never actually used by Brian Boru, but it's called the Harp of Brian Boru.
All right.
It's kind of weird.
But anyway, it's Brian Boru is like the big high king of Ireland of old. And like the harp is the symbol of Ireland. And so they were like, this is Brian Boru's harp.
It's the original harp of Brian Boru. Only the body and the strings have been changed.
Yes. It is the Argonaut or ship of Theseus of harps. But anyway, this is the great part though. So Ireland, the country of Ireland, goes, we are going to make the harp the symbol of Ireland.
Sure.
And Guinness, which had already been established at this point, said, that's our symbol, and no, you're not. and so the government of Ireland went, no, it'll be fine. And so the Guinness harp is pointing to the left, and the Harp of Ireland is pointing to the right.
Well, that's a thing.
That is literally the difference between the Guinness harp and the Irish harp is one's this way, one's this way.
That's hilarious.
What about harp?
Harp is owned by Guinness. I know. Okay. So that, and then we went to Kilmainham Jail, which is where every dissident from every Irish uprising has spent time. And there are plenty of Irish uprisings. It's almost like the Irish didn't like the English occupation.
What?
I know, right?
That's so strange.
Unfortunately, we got there at like noon, and they were already sold out of tours for the day, which really bummed me out. So I didn't get to go inside the jail proper, but we did get to go into the library or into the museum, which had a lot of the history of the jail and stuff like that.
Nice.
Like they had one of the proclamations of 1916 in there, like one of the original proclamations of 1916, which is, for those that don't know, like the Declaration of Independence for Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big, important document.
I did not know that.
There were like 20 total, and I think like 12 remain in existence, and one of them is at Trinity College, and one of them is at Kilmainham Jail. So saw that. Guinness, saw the Guinness factory, poured my own Guinness.
This one does.
Yep, yeah. It was great. Had a grand old time there. Jameson Distillery,
but
had a grand old time there.
Trinity College Library.
Oh, Trinity College Library.
Okay, yep, all right.
You're so good. I seriously will sometimes just like be walking around the house and just kind of go, oh, the library. Although, as a librarian, this because they're... I'm going through the tour, and they're like, you will notice that the books in the library are not in alphabetical order. They are in order by size.
What?
Yep.
Wait.
I'm sorry. What?
Depth, height, or thickness?
Vertical height.
Okay.
The short books are at the top, and the tall books are at the bottom.
What?
And the shelves.
Bri, I don't think I've ever seen you this mad before.
I had the same reaction. I was not happy about this. What it is you go to the card catalog, and the card catalog will say to find this book, you go to this bay and this shelf, and that's where you'll find this book.
Well, all right.
But otherwise, it's by size.
Does it not tell you how tall the book is?
Because
it fucking should.
I know. It's aesthetically pleasing as hell. That's why it looks so gorgeous, is because they're sized instead of alphabetical. But yeah, but I... oh yeah, no, I get... real twitchy about this shit. Anyway. So Killarney was amazing. Like I said, at this point we are pretty well fucking like touristied out. We have seen castles and abbeys and ruins and distilleries and breweries and we were just like, and so we're like, Killarney has like a national park adjacent to the city.
Yeah.
With like these beautiful lakes. And so we're like, we're just gonna take a walk. And like we walked, it was about a 10 kilometer walk around Macross Lake. And it was just gorgeous. We took the most amazing pictures because we're in the Kerry Mountains at this point. And the Kerry Mountains are absolutely why they call Ireland the Emerald Isle. Because it was fucking green. Just the trees were covered in moss. And the biggest fucking clover I have ever seen in my entire fucking life. Like the head, the leaves of the clover. Not the entire head of three, but like each individual leaf was like an inch across. They were huge clover and like it's just moss everywhere and trees and just fucking gorgeous. And you've got this lake, just crystal clear water that you can see all the way to the bottom. And we walked around.
Kind they write about on whiskey bottles.
And so we like walked around there and we went to and saw the Torque waterfall on Torque Mountain and went halfway up Torque Mountain and then walked around this lake and it was fucking amazing. And then halfway around the lake was this little cottage where you can get ice cream and then like finish your walk. And it we started and ended at Macross House, which is this fucking mansion on the edge of the lake with just the lawn and gardens. And it was just so gorgeous. And that's all we did that day was just walk around this lake. And it was the best.
I mean, that sounds spectacular.
By size?
Yes. Yes. And so now we come to the second of the last day, which was actually my wife's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife's birthday, we went to Dingle.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it's going to get better. Don't worry. It'll get better. Don't worry. But Dingle is on this little peninsula, and this peninsula is the westernmost point.
I didn't know it was Dingle Peninsula.
It is.
Fuck, man.
It gets better.
Oh, shit.
I know.
All right.
It gets better. This is the westernmost point of Europe. Like, this extends further west than Portugal. This extends further west. Like, this is the most westernmost
go on
edge. And so a lot of the ships when they were going to be traveling across the ocean would stop there and so like this
why
bay,
wouldn't you
this
so
bay,
you're saying that Dingle Peninsula was full of semen?
Yes, all the time. This was a major port because all the ships would stop there before heading across the ocean. It gets better. But Dingle was amazing. It really was. We stopped at a pier to plate restaurant and got just like crabs and just the most amazing fish. I told you it gets better. I'm not done yet. It gets better. On the way out to Dingle, we passed the Inch Strand.
which is this huge beach. But anyway, so
a grower. To be sure. Yeah.
But so we spent a lot of our morning there, and then we headed west. We got out to the westernmost edge, like the actual edge, and this headwater out there is called, and this is where I was getting with this, the westernmost point of Europe is called Dunmore Head.
Mm-hmm. Of the Dingle Peninsula.
On the Dingle Peninsula, yes.
Full of semen.
Yes.
Where you got crabs.
Yes. Past the Inch Strand.
And they're in this little bay, just little corner.
A reservoir tip.
Yeah. So you've got cliffs on both sides.
Mm.
And then this little beach. And so we went down to this little beach.
Sort of the crotch of these cliffs, yeah, if you will.
And we went swimming in the ocean. Mm. And it was...
salty?
Fucking amazing. So amazing. It just the best experience.
Joking aside, it does sound fucking amazing.
In my life, it was so amazing.
Fucking amazing?
Just, wow, that, yes.
The waves would come in, and they would crash, and you just, like, jump in the air just as those waves hit you, and, like, mm-hmm. you land, like, 50 feet. But that's over-exaggeration. You know, 10 feet closer to the beach than where you were standing. But it was so disorienting at first. Because... like, I got into the water, and it got deep really fast. Like, I would take mm-hmm. a step, and it would go from, like, mid-calf to belly. And at first I was like, holy shit, this is really steep. And then I was realizing, no, just the ocean is rising.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because it ebbs and flows. And so, like, you'd just be standing in one place. And it would be up to your nipples 1 minute, and then it would, like, drop down to your calves. Not thighs.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next wave would crash in, and you'd be up to your chest again. And so it was kind of disorienting at first, just kind of like the water level didn't stay put. You know, it kept going up and down. But yeah, there's people out there with surfboards, and we were just swimming in the ocean, and it was the best. It was absolutely the best. And then we drove to Limerick, and we had dinner there. And then we were in Limerick, and it was my wife's birthday, so I wrote a couple limericks for her.
Aww.
And then we got on a plane, and we flew home. And,
lovely.
And it was the best 10 days I've ever had in my life. It was so, so good.
Aww.
It was simply stunning. Here's the thing. If you are running a tour company, who are most of your customers?
Tourists.
Fucking tourists.
Do not, in your official documentation, put down place names that are known to the locals as. Because your fucking clients aren't locals. And they're not going to fucking know where to go. We were supposed to meet.
Yeah.
And it said on our fucking voucher. At the new Galway station.
Okay.
And we fucking Googled new Galway station. And we looked around on maps. And it was not fucking there. And I finally, in my Google foo, stumbled upon the Galway City Center bus station.
Which is the newer...
known to the locals as the new Galway station.
Jesus.
And I was like, don't... I don't...
Mm.
Our second day waking up in Galway, we got in the car, and we're driving down the road, and we've got the radio on, and we've got, you know, the weather report, and then they're like, by the way, the roads are a little backed up along the M23. There's a report of cows in the road. So if you're going that way, just be aware. You're just like, hold on, stop. Wait.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Back it up. So, cows? All right. Mm-hmm. That's just the thing.
Did you see cows?
We saw so many cows and so many sheep.
But were they in the road?
No, we didn't see any cows in the road. I love this. So here's actual road signs. that you'd read. And clearly, some terminology is different over there than it is over here. But tell me if you can tell me what this sign means. Traffic calming.
I would assume that it is a pull off the road spot.
Nope.
Where you can sit and enjoy the traffic going by in order to relieve the tension that has been ebbing in your chest from a fight with your parents over whether or not you can attend the dance that is happening at your friend's barn.
So it's like Footloose all over again. Yep.
Traffic calming means reduced speed ahead.
Yeah, that would be my guess. Yeah.
What
I
about
like,
this?
I like my answer better.
What about this one?
What about this one? Ramps.
It's a base. You're approaching the base of some kind of door.
Nope.
No. See, that's like in Mario Kart where you're about to get one of those speed boosts that's going to send you up and through a hoop for extra points.
Yeah, I think it's an increase in speed. I think Bree's correct on that. Yeah,
no, ramps is speed bumps ahead.
Oh.
So I was right.
Yes.
Yeah, depending on how hard you hit them.
So, this was great. Again, the roads...
Do they have turtles in Ireland?
The roads are very twisty and windy.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. And so every so often you would encounter written on the road, slow. And it was like, oh, it makes sense. Slow down. There's a curve up ahead. And there was a couple times where it was like, slow, and then 100 feet up again, it went slower.
Nice.
It was like... Okay, I can take the hint here. It just amused me because it was like, nope, not going slow enough. So we're at the Jameson Distillery and we're getting the tour.
As one does.
And we're doing the tasting for Jameson.
As one does.
And we are tasting Jameson paired with a leading Scotch whiskey and a leading American whiskey.
Okay.
They told us afterwards which ones they were, but they didn't want to taint the experiment before, so they didn't tell us brand name or anything. They just this is a fairly relatively same price point representation of Scotch and American whiskeys. So we get through, and she goes, and one thing you will notice is that both in the Irish whiskey and in the American whiskey, whiskey is spelled W-H-I-S-K-E-Y. And the Scotch whiskey is W-H-I-S-K-Y. And she goes, there's actually a very good reason for that. And the reason is... The
Scotch are stubborn bastards?
The Scots can't spell. They are so casual about parking in Ireland. Like, they just park wherever they fucking feel.
So it's like Duluth.
Kind of. Like, the roads are a lane, and just, like, somebody will get to their house and just park. They'll just pull over and park.
Huh. Aww.
And you get into the city, and they will just pull up onto the curb and park on the sidewalk, and just kind of, that's where they are.
Sure.
Just like where it didn't matter if it was like which side of the street they were on. If the parking spot was on the other side of the street, they just park there anyway. Didn't matter. Just fucking park wherever you fit. They were just like they were so casual about parking.
I mean, I suppose a lot of the places were built
exactly. Yeah.
When there were not vehicles that needed parking.
But exactly, and it was just, so you'd get to like roadside attractions or something like that, and there wouldn't be a parking lot.
Yeah.
People would just stop at the edge of the road.
Yeah.
And
sure.
Nobody batted an eye. Nobody cared at all. It was just that's the way it was done. Just wherever you could cram your vehicle into, that's where you parked. As long as you weren't blocking the road, you were fine.
More
it didn't matter at all. One of the things while we were on the Dingle Peninsula is you look out. You can kind of see County Kerry to the south of you, and just off the tip are two little islands. And those are the Skellig Islands.
Yeah.
And the one on the right is Skellig Michael, which you might recognize if you're a Star Wars fan. Kiskelig Michael was Luke Skywalker's self-imposed exile island.
It was right there.
So it's full of porgs.
Yeah. No, puffins.
Porgs.
Porgs.
No, puffins.
Yeah, porgs.
Yeah, yeah, they're like porgs, yeah, but not shitty.
So it's full of porgs.
Except better.
Yeah, so it's full of porgs.
Except not awful.
So I need to take Tim there.
Yeah, please. And then don't come back.
Oh. Thought you liked me.
No, don't bring him back.
Oh, okay. Speaking
you
of Tim.
You can also... Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. I did a show with him tonight.
Oh? And yeah. How did it go?
It went really well. It was really fun. I'm having a good time doing the show.
Good.
You were done, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. I thought you were. It felt like you were.
Yeah, no, that was the wrap-up.
Is it all right if we take a quick break to refresh our drinks and then come back and hear all about your show?
Oh, all right. I guess I'll hold my talk about Tim.
I mean... Okay, we'll be right back. If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm Brianna.
All right. Woo. Bri, you're in a show. Tell us about it.
Well, yeah, my life has been very absorbed with the Fringe Festival.
What?
I know, right? So I'm doing a show called Swan Song, mm-hmm. and before I came over here tonight, I actually did our third of five shows, and it is a modern adaptation of Agatha Christie's And Then There Were None, so murder and mystery and suspense.
And Agatha Christie.
Yes. But I do get the joy of working with a bunch of amazingly talented people and Tim Wick, and
<it's>, sure.
Story checks out.
It's really been just a wild ride. This is the first time I've done a scripted show as part of Fringe Festival. In the past, I've done several improv shows in Fringe, which is a whole nother beast.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Because... improv can go well in Fringe, but not all Fringe audiences understand what they're seeing.
Yeah. Sure.
And I think it's changing. Like, the Fringe audiences are starting to understand it more. I think that this year there's, like, 13 or 14 different improv shows, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was doing it, God, 4 years ago, we were one of two improv shows in Fringe. So we would get reviews of, I don't think anyone knew their lines. yeah.
Oh.
Seriously, we got that review. I walked out 5 minutes in because no one knew their lines. Someone left that review for us. So doing a scripted show has definitely been a push for me as a performer. And this show specifically has been... very emotionally raw and really an amazing experience, but also a challenging one for the character that I'm playing. And yeah, I don't want to say too much because I don't want to give away anything.
Sure.
But definitely if folks can come check out our last two performances, this has been a phenomenal growth for me as a performer, so
I 100% want to. Yeah.
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 So we have two more shows this Thursday at 10 p.m. and this Saturday at 4 p.m.
Ooh.
Yeah, so you can have a nice little matinee and still go out in the daylight and not be creeped out afterwards. Or if you really like the horror feeling, come out for our 10 p.m. show on Thursday and then go outside and be afraid to take the bus home, like my friend said after when she came to see it. Seriously, that was what she said. She's like, I'm glad you're giving me a ride home because I was scared to take a Lyft or a bus afterwards. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's there's
a, that. That's a good review, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Means that it's a solid and engrossing performance.
Yeah, and I get to... Yeah, it's at the Southern Theater.
Oh,
which,
wow, yeah.
Oh, my God. I could not ask for a better venue for a show like this.
Hmm.
One of my character's first lines is about getting to be in this amazing old house.
Oh, wow.
Or amazing old mansion. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, this, I could not ask for a better space to say that line.
Mm.
Oh, I've always wanted to do a show there, and this is just the best.
Yeah. I've seen many shows there now, and it's one of my favorite show venues.
Right?
Yeah.
Although I've heard that Theater in the Round is rocking it with shows this fringe.
Yeah.
I got to see... Zeta and Gabriel smashed the patriarchy.
Oh, yeah.
Over there, and I got to see Bisexual Unicorn and Other Mythological Creatures,
mm-hmm.
both of which were amazing in different ways. Highly recommend if you can see their remaining shows. If I hadn't gotten suckered into this podcast tonight, was going to go see the Wilhelmina and Theodore's exquisite Victorian adventure.
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
It's this amazing show that was produced by some person that you may have heard of known as the Jenna.
I mean, I've heard of a Jenna.
Recognized in local bathrooms as...
Yeah, right. I've heard in bathrooms that she's very funny.
Speaking of which, we're supposed to read reviews.
Ooh!
Jenna's instructions were we were supposed to read reviews of her show.
Oh, by all means.
So, first off, Wilhelmina and Theodore's exquisite Victorian adventure is Bill and Ted's excellent adventure, steampunk.
Does, mm-hmm. After this, can we read one for Swan Song?
Sure.
Yeah.
Going to pick some at random here. 4 stars. An enthusiastic homage to Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. One does not have to have seen the movie to enjoy it. I hadn't. Now, no twisty, shocking plot points here. Nicely delivered and paced, but puts the work in for the groan-worthy puns. A solid fringe show.
Can you please read? I know there was a 3-star one that just made me laugh. It's a tiny short review that's a 3-star.
Oh, is it the one I'm thinking of? Uh-huh.
It is the one you're thinking of. It made me laugh so hard.
Let's see if I can find it.
Do you know which one I'm talking about?
I believe I might.
Here we go. 3 stars. 2 puns. The 2 puns were the only thing that made me smile during the entire performance. End of review.
Jesus.
That's 1.5 stars per pun, guys.
Yeah. I mean, they were real fucking good puns. So.
Here we go. 4.5 stars. Went home and looked up Ada Lovelace to see if she was historically as sweary as Ada was in the show. This was a lot of fun. The performances were really excellent. I had seen the movie, and I think that helped, but you could probably see this cold and still find it entertaining. Let me see. 5 stars, 4.5, 5, 4.5, 4, 4, 4.
I mean, this sounds like an amazing show.
4.5.
That's because it is. I saw it on opening night, and.
5 stars.
I was well entertained.
I'm planning on going to see it Thursday at 7 before I go do my show at 10. So
I think that's an excellent
plan. This has an overall rating of 4.5 stars, and it is getting
fucking awesome.
The only thing less than 4 stars was that 3-star 2-pun comment.
Mm. My show got one-star review.
Never read the reviews.
Right.
let me see. Swan's Song.
I'm curious.
Are you looking
for
one specific one? Or?
No, I haven't looked at them much.
Oh, so you're going into this.
Well, I've looked like the first day just to see because I was all nervous, and then I started staying away just because I'm me.
Swan Song. Six unsuspecting people enter a play rehearsal, but how many will leave it alive?
Dun dun dun.
Reviews. Overall, 4.5 stars.
Nice.
A solid whodunit. Solid plot, 4 stars. Solid plot, simple set. 6 actors, all around a fringe show that was well-paced and kept you on the edge of your seat.
Yay!
5 stars, 4.5 stars, 4.5, 5, 4.5, 5, 4. Looking pretty solid here.
Oh, wow.
5 stars, beautiful set, great cast and ensemble, solid script, giving each character a unique voice. If you're a fan of Mansion Murder Mysteries, this is great, and the ending is fun.
I fucking am.
Yay!
So, yeah, looks like a solid, solid...
Did your performances with improvised Agatha Christie come in handy at all?
I mean, probably a little bit. If nothing else, doing this show is definitely going to help next time I do that show.
Well, there's that.
Because, yeah, if you are not familiar with that, check out Foul Play on our Facebook page. We do an improvised Agatha Christie show, and it is absolutely phenomenal. But we try to keep ours period, which that was the one thing I didn't get to do. Well, okay, I don't feel like this is too much of a spoiler. When I joined this cast, I was like, yeah, I'll get to use my British accent, blah, blah, blah. And then I found out it was a modern adaptation. I was like, oh, dang it. I don't get to be British. I've been working so hard. Like, we had someone specifically come in and coach us on the dialect of the times. Like, I've been really learning how to do an Agatha-era British accent for Foul Play. And I have one line in this show where I have to do an accent, except that I am specifically directed to do it as badly as possible. And I have learned that my brain is having a hard time doing a bad British accent because I have now been coached for both a Agatha Christie era British dialect and a... Jane Austen era British dialect. So I have two in my brain on top of the shitty one that I do for Renaissance Festival.
Oh yeah.
And I'm just trying to mesh all three of them together to do this one line in the play.
Oh wow.
Yep.
Oh. I have one of those on tap. I mean, aside from the shitty one that I do out at Renaissance Festival with Kyle to be the squires, I've got, which is like a Dick Van Dyke.
Right.
Yeah. So, there's that. And then, I did a couple of other ones for a play. But one of the people in that play, because it was an accents on play, she was asked if she could do a British accent, and she said, of course I can. I work at the Renaissance Festival. And that was it. That was the British accent, and nothing. It was...
This is on the level of, sounds like a blast.
What?
Yep.
So in an interview, speaking of Dick Van Dyke,
Dick
Van Dyke, he said, you know, as far as this accent that he did, he was like, I'm an American. I've never been to Britain. This is this is what my voice coach said to sound like. He's like, this is what my voice coach said to sound like, and so that's what I did. So don't blame me for the shitty, you know, Cockney.
Right.
This is what I was told. And he goes, in hindsight, my voice coach did have a really thick Irish accent.
Right.
Because he was an Irishman.
Oh, no.
So it may be in hindsight, I probably should. But he was just like, I thought I was doing fine because that's what my voice coach said. I was doing great. So... Not Dick Van Dyke's fault, you guys. Not
true.
His fault.
Oh, no, not at all.
James, you're in a fringe show.
I am. Renaissance of the Dead. Ugh. Yeah.
Let's see the reviews. James Fairbairn.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I'm so
overall
excited.
Review.
Are you ready?
No, but...
Have you looked at
do
them?
Do it.
Have you looked at them?
Some.
4.5 stars.
Oh, shit.
Yep. 4.5 stars. Let me see. 5 stars, 5 stars, 5 stars, 1
yeah.
star.
Yeah, I caught the 1-star review. That was the opening night.
Oh.
What?
Yeah, go ahead and read it,
three
by
and
all
half,
means.
5, 4.5, 4.5. Mostly good. We just have this one miss them. I don't know what show the other reviewers were at, but this may have been the worst show I've seen in 2 years. Ah. I love zombie themes, but this was weak all the way around. Thought the acting was stilted, and I really fought to stay awake. The best part, unfortunately, was the ending, because it was clever and because it was mercifully over.
Womp womp.
Wow.
Thank you, Waldorf and or Statler.
I mean, you can't please everyone, and that's okay.
I feel like Waldorf and Statler would have had something funnier to say about it.
True.
On the other hand, we've got this 5-star. Even if you've never been to an actual Renaissance festival, you somehow recognize each of the characters the actors are portraying. There are some amazing scenes here and very smart work with an overhead projector. All in all, a very fun show, including geek favorite tropes of both zombie invasion and Renaissance festivals.
Aww.
So, yeah.
Sure, sometimes walking about festivals feels like the Renaissance festival feels like you are walking with a bunch of zombies, but now you get to see it actually happen. Mix some swashbuckling fun with jokes and puppets, and you know you're in for quite a ride.
Yeah.
So some pretty good reviews.
I mean,
here.
Swashbuckling and puppets has long been a favorite combination of mine.
So, speaking of Improv at Fringe, I am also going to be guesting at #FirstDate.
Ooh.
You don't need to look this one up.
I wasn't going to.
I have.
You haven't been in it yet, so reviews at this point are meaningless.
So anyway, it's an improv show that is surrounding the idea of Tinder first dates.
Oh, God.
Yep. And it's being done by some former students of mine, and I'm actually very excited to get to play with them because I coached them for their show last year, which was the, what was it? The hashtag 30 day writing challenge, the Naughty Bits.
Oh.
Yeah. They did a show that was based around like the Naughty Bits, like someone doing the 30 day writing challenge and the emotional journey they go through. They did an improv show based on that. So I coached them through that last year, and this year they came up with another idea and brought in Molly Ritchie to coach them, and they have created a really cool form, and they're still growing as improv performers, but it's been cool to see how they've come up with these ideas and are putting them into play and taking these giant risks as they've grown and keep doing Fringe, and so I'm really excited to get to play with them this year. And I'll be doing their last show on Sunday.
Aww.
Yeah, which will be really sweet. So, but I believe I get to be one of the people that is on Tinder. So they'll have a person who is going on 4 first dates. And then you see each of those dates at 2 points throughout the night, and then like a final interaction. So... Yep, exactly.
Oh, all right.
It's going to be kind of fun. So I get to be a weird and wonderful character for a date.
I know that will be a struggle for you.
What?
Right. That's what I've got.
Yep.
So if you're free on Sunday, I believe it's at 5:30. I should look that time up.
Sure.
I think it's 5:30 on Sunday.
Yeah, go to minnesotafringe.org and check it out for yourselves.
Yeah.
Fringemn.org.
Isn't it? Oh, it might be. I think there are a bunch of URLs that all point to...
Yeah, because there's some that redirect. You can search 2 different ones and they redirect. Ooh, we're looking it up. Science. Hey.
No, you're right. It is from Minnesota.
Speaking of Renaissance festivals.
Yes. That's going to happen.
No, I'm thinking of Give MN.
Yes,
you are. Meg.
You are. It is coming up. And are you ready?
I don't know that there's any way to be ready.
Are you ready?
Never.
God, I feel like I'm already 8 weeks in.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean,
I guess in a way I kind of am.
Well, yeah. Because you've been doing something new and amazing. Yeah.
I got to have the pleasure of working with my friend Eric, training this year's rookies.
Eric Thompson.
Yes, Mr. Thompson.
Of course, the French.
So you started back in...
Back in June. Okay. We've been working with them since June.
So you finally got around to... Okay.
To what? What?
Oh, my festival season started in May. So.
Well, yes. Nah. But we went at it with a different process this year of actually thinking, like, instead of just bringing in, okay, let's have this person teach them and this person teach them, and just having this disjointed bunch of different lessons, which has worked in the past, we went through this idea of, like, what is a progress that we can have them learn through, and how can we help them create characters in a more overarching way. And this year, when they came to Allcast, they just were ready to hit the streets, and I am so excited to see what they do.
Yeah.
So.
Well, remembering that Hans, the sorcerer, and Rita, the village madwoman, and a ton of other people started in my year, and they were fucking ready the moment those gates opened, or they had their thing, you know, whatever their plan was, and then they just honed it and refined it. It's always fucking awesome to see how people do, and see how see these things grow and evolve and change into staples of, because I can't imagine the streets without some of the people that I started with.
Like, Festival went through a period of a few years where we didn't have Academy, and it showed.
Yeah.
Like, I still to this day do not understand why they decided to eliminate it when they did. 'Cause the entertainment just went to shit real fast, and then they brought it back, and suddenly we've got great entertainment again.
Well, there you
and
go.
And a good chunk of this year's characters are specifically street. Yeah, like, the rookies are going out and doing street characters, not
groups,
hiding away in groups, but, like, solo street.
Because last year, a lot of
that's so brave.
Right?
Oh, man.
Yeah, who would have thought if you prepare them?
It's weird.
And teach them.
There's one specifically... there's a couple that I'm very excited for.
Yeah, I had a chat with Eric Thompson.
Right.
About who specifically to keep an eye open for. He gave me a list.
Right.
And he... I mean, even those ones, he was like, there's a few that are really good, but nobody really is head and shoulders above.
No. No, that's the thing, is, like, there's no one I'm worried about at all.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one of them, I'm they're ready.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to it.
I'm so ready for it to be open. I'm so excited.
I am also deeply, deeply excited.
Button is ready.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey,
Yes, Salsa?
How about a Fast Five?
Fast Five!
Today's Fast Five comes to us from Salsa.
Oh, God.
That... son of a bitch.
What an asshole.
Yeah.
Legitimately, though, let's see. Galway or Kilkenny, which do you think Salsa enjoyed more? Killarney. Killarney was fucking great.
Okay, I was right on that one.
Trinity College Library or Guinness Brewery, which do you think Salsa enjoyed more? Real toss-up here, but Trinity College Library.
Got that one.
Mm-hmm. Beer or whiskey, which do you think Salsa consumed more of? What did you guys say?
I said beer.
You were correct.
Hey!
I drank a significant amount, but definitely a lot of beer. Cities or countryside, which do you think Salsa enjoyed more?
I think I think we settled on cities.
You were wrong. Countryside.
Ooh.
Duh.
Cities were awesome and a lot of fun, but but just driving around the countryside, wow. And question number five, Dunmore Head or Dingle? Which location along the coast of County Kerry sounds more dirty?
I chose Dunmore Head.
That is what I also chose.
All right.
Thankfully, this one was a, you know, subjective one. So
yeah.
Anyway, that's what I.
Wait, was that our Fast Five?
No.
That was last week's Fast Five.
I know. I was teasing.
Yeah. Oh, I don't get it.
Speaking of which, there's a Jackbox game called Trivia Murder Party. Where you, and I will wholeheartedly suggest this for people who enjoy trivia.
I just like murder parties.
Oh, yeah. As is shown by your choice of shows to be in.
If anyone needs me for a Twin Cities Horror Fest show, just letting you know.
Yeah.
Come out to Swansong. Let that be my audition.
Yeah. I feel like it's a stellar audition.
Right?
In Trivia Murder Party, when you answer questions incorrectly, there is a large chance that you will be killed.
Mm-hmm.
And so you truly find out who is right and who is dead.
Yeah. This is totally up my alley.
Giggity.
All right.
Today's Fast Five comes to us from Mr. Mud.
Mud?
Yes, Mud.
Stuffin?
Yes.
Yay, Mud!
I'm sorry. I am not being a good Jenna.
No, it's okay. James is really sucking it up today, apparently.
I've never been a good Jenna. Also.
Yay, Mud!
There we go.
Mud writes, here is another round of Fast Fives about that guy we all love. No, not James. But no. That adorkable Mav.
Well, there's that.
What can I say? I see the guy so often now, he's on my mind often. So, question number one. Mav or Mud Puddle?
Oh,
I'm just Mud Puddle.
Obviously, on this one.
Little Mud Puddle.
Mud Puddle.
Mud Puddle. Yep. All about the Mud Puddle.
I mean, Mav, you're pretty adorable.
I like Mav,
but
Mud Puddle.
I don't think anybody.
I don't feel like I'm understanding any context here. But Mud Puddle.
So we've got Mr. Mud Stuffin, and Mr. Mud and his wife had a baby. And the baby is Mud Puddle.
Mm-hmm. And Mud Puddle is exactly as cute.
Okay.
As you're thinking.
So Mud Puddle is a little baby.
Oh no, Button's coming out.
Yeah. So yeah, I think that was clear. Question number two. Mav or Riga?
I feel like the answer to this is dangerous.
Yeah. I'm okay with it though.
Whoa.
You know, I honestly, I didn't pass trigonometry, so I don't know that I can calculate who's grabbed me more.
I can calculate who I've grabbed more.
Oh. Okay, Riga.
Riga.
I've slept next to Riga in the campground for almost 11 years, so I'm going to go with Riga.
Aww.
Yeah.
Yeah, his tent is right next to ours.
Mm-hmm.
Question number three. Chicken or hedgehog?
Hedgehog.
I would like to try eating hedgehog. I'll go with that one. I'll give it a try.
I thought it was which one you wanted to cuddle.
I mean, it could be.
Some chickens are real fucking cute.
I mean, either way, I feel like my answer is hedgehog, but...
The chicken that they had for Hamlet, but Hamlet's a chicken, was super
That's
adorable.
What I heard. I never got to see that show.
It's if it's ever remounted, let's go.
All right.
Yeah.
It's a date. Oh.
Hedgehog. Because of pickles.
Aww.
Yeah. Pickles is a hedgehog.
I hope the answer is, or the question is not, who are you going to eat?
No, I hope not.
I would try hedgehog.
Not pickle, though.
No.
I would eat pickles.
No, not pickle the hedgehog.
Who's pickle the hedgehog?
It's our friend's hedgehog.
Yeah.
Okay. Question number four.
Doom.
Is it spelled that way?
No, just or regular,
is,
normal.
Is it spelled like box of dumb?
No, it's D-O-O-M.
Wait, oh, okay. But is it in all caps?
No.
Okay, oh. That's important.
That is important.
That is actually important in this context.
Distinction.
It is impossible to say that word any other way, though.
Yes, but we need to know if it's in all caps.
No, just capital D, small O-O-M. Doom.
Okay.
Or last.
Is L capitalized?
Mm. Yes.
Hmm.
I'm going to go Doom on this one.
I mean, I do kind of like Doom.
Doom's
yeah.
Pretty great.
Doom is fun.
I'm going to go last.
He's broken our trend of having the same answer.
Yeah.
Have we?
He hit. Yeah, we've had the same answer for everything but this.
Really?
Yes.
I don't listen.
I do. That's why I'm better than
story
you.
Story checks out.
That is not...
There are so many reasons.
Tip of
Wait,
the iceberg
no!
of the reasons
no!
you are better than me.
Like that's the inch
there is
strand
a book.
Of reasons.
There is a fucking tome
oh,
that would
I
fit in a
bad.
Bottom
There's
shelf.
There's a book
but
of Trinity
now
College.
I feel bad.
It's so big it would fit on the bottom shelf at Trinity College.
It is actually a bottom shelf all on its own.
Of reasons that you yeah. are better than me.
That's actually a
but
section.
But you started Renfest in May.
Yeah, because I'm an idiot.
Yeah, I'm still going to say that's a good reason why you'd be better, yeah. All right.
We have our
five.
Wait, hold on. Is salsa... Because salsa does carny things. Are you salsa con carne?
No.
Oh, okay. All right.
Question number five. James...
Oh, shit.
Or Mav.
Mav.
Mav is clearly a better fencer.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, if the answer is who I'm going to cuddle...
Mav.
I feel like that's a hard question.
Going with Mav. Mav's cuddly.
I mean...
Who am I going to poke with a fencing stick?
Mav.
Whose eyeball have I licked?
I mean, that's an oddly specific... context for this question.
I mean...
I need to lick his eyeball.
All right, next time we see Mav, we're licking his eyeball. Shake.
I mean...
Yeah.
You don't just lick people's eyeballs normally?
Now we are.
Okay.
I don't know that there's a normal way to lick people's eyeballs.
Oh, shit.
It's so normal that we don't even talk about
it. So I'm
going to
say James on this one.
Okay.
Hmm.
Hmm.
Question number one.
Yes?
Mav or Mud Puddle? Who doesn't love Three Men and a Baby? Would you replace Mav in the role played by Ten Danson or Mud Puddle in the role of the baby?
Oh, shit. That's a hard question.
No, I got to switch it to Mav in this one. I'm sorry. I wouldn't put Mud Puddle under the shit that they do to that baby
well, there's
in that movie. So, but Mav, I would watch that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be a hilarious swap.
I've seen Mav in films, and,
Because if I recall correctly, isn't Ted Danson the, like, womanizer one?
I think so.
In that, like, the swinging guy?
Yeah.
Like, with all the chicks? Because...
Does he get to rewrite some
Gutenberg
of that?
Gutenberg was the artist.
Right, and then, Tom Selleck. Wasn't Tom Selleck one of the three guys?
Yeah.
But
the one whose actual baby it was... Was Ted Danson's.
I thought it was none of theirs.
No, it actually is. It's like, because he's away when that baby gets dropped off, and then when he comes home, the other two are like, I'm going to fucking kill you.
No, I remember that part, because they both think it's his. But
no, it is.
Doesn't,
his.
Okay. I have to rewatch it, I guess.
Yep.
Anyway.
I would definitely go with Mav on this one.
Yeah.
Because watching him in that role would be
But
hilarious.
Does he get to rewrite some of it, is what I'm saying.
I'm going
to
go,
yeah,
he
perform
Mav,
the,
he Mavs it up.
Yeah.
Okay, then yes, I'm going to say Mav.
I think he rewrites some of the lines insofar as he performs some of them as the Dwed Pywit Maui.
Yeah.
Question number two.
Yeah.
Mav or Riga?
Okay.
Who would you replace... Steve Guttenberg with
oh, geez.
In 80s and 90s huh. comedies.
Flip.
Shit. I'm Mav or Riga.
Oh.
Hmm.
Oh, no.
In Short Circuit.
Oh, God.
Or as Mahoney.
Oh, wow.
Shit. Oh.
Keep naming more. Make it harder on us.
Hmm. The inventor of the original printing press. Hmm. Ow, damn it. Worth it.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. It's just a rib. I've got a bunch of those.
That's what she said.
Fuck. I think both would be brilliant for different reasons, but...
I gotta lean Riga on this one. I do. I'm sorry.
No, don't apologize. I think Steve I'm leaning Gutenberg the same way.
Has a kind of earnestness. Well, do you think he's more earnest or more sarcastic? Because that
depends on the role, I think.
Yeah.
Because Mahoney was super sarcastic.
Yeah.
But in Short Circuit, he was much more earnest, I think.
Hmm.
Just because of Police Academy, I think I go with Riga.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
We're going to break James.
This is
I'm going to go with Mav. I'm going to go with Mav.
It's a fucking great question. Question number three. Chicken or hedgehog? Ha! Sorry. Mav is going to star in a spin-off of Sharknado.
All right.
Which animal do you want to see them use?
Hedgehogs!
Clearly hedgehogs.
Hedgehogs!
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 Chickens would be funny, but hedgehogs...
Hedgehogs!
Flying around and stabbing people as they hit them in the tornado.
Oh my god.
Like hedgehogs.
Having played
so
Zelda.
So many plot devices.
And the puns.
Oh my god, yes.
No, shark, yes. Hedgehogs. Hedgehog-nado is the way to go.
Hog-nado.
Hedge-nado?
Hedge-nado. Hedge-nado. Uh-oh.
Bok-nado.
No,
not happening. Sorry.
No?
Chicken is the wrong
The dregs
answer.
Do not need to write that song.
I've got $5 for Tim.
Question number four. Doom.
Okay.
Or Last.
All right.
Oh. Mav is taking over for Harrison Ford in the role of Indiana Jones.
Mm.
Should his movie be called Mav and the Llama of Doom? Or Mav and the Last Llama? Llama of Doom.
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 I was wrong.
Yeah. How come I never dream of Harrison Ford?
Because you're never thinking of him as you fall asleep.
No, that it's a line from a movie.
I don't care.
It's from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And?
You know, never mind.
Yes, and?
Question number five, James or Mav?
All right.
Would you rather keep James as the third host or replace him with Mav? Oh, Mav.
Mav.
Yep. Bye, James.
Nope.
What are you doing, Mav?
I like James.
Come on. No, he's...
I mean, I like me too, but...
I like James.
If you would like to send in a fast five, send two emails to salsa@aonpodcast.com and do that because I don't have any left. And then you know how this works. Two emails, one of them containing the... the questions and the second one repeat the questions, give it the context. If you really haven't figured it out by now, then what the fuck am I talking about?
What are you talking about?
I don't even know anymore. Who's got something to plug?
I think we're in shows.
Yeah, I know, but let's just do it again.
And fest.
This is what we do. Let's do it again.
All right. You?
Hey, come out and see me in Swan Song this Thursday at 10 p.m. Saturday at 4 p.m. and hashtag First Date Sunday at, I believe, 5:30. But check the Minnesota Fringe website and then come out and see me at the Renaissance Festival starting August 17th at Witchwood Stage with my new group, The Understudies, or try to find me in Shirley the Jester Giant Puppet, if you dare.
If you can... catch her.
All right.
Jeez.
Do I have anything else coming up?
I don't know.
I have no idea. That's probably enough.
Yeah. Yes. What about you?
I will also be out at Fest. I'll be at the fencing booth in the mornings, and then running street comedy in the afternoons. There are three more shows of Renaissance of the Dead. Wednesday night at, I believe, 8:30 p.m., and then a show on Saturday and a show on Sunday. Check it out on minnesotafringe.org.
I will be at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival. You can catch Casimir the Hungry at the Sherwood stage at 11 o'clock, 1:30, and 4 o'clock on that stage. I will also be doing the 2 o'clock Feast of Fantasy every day, as well as the Pig and Swig and the Wine Tasting.
Damn.
That's a lot of
shows. That's a lot of swords.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And who has a shout-out? I have a shout-out.
You have a shout-out.
I'm giving my shout-out to books.
Aww.
In general. Because I was on very, very long flights. And books require no battery, and I went through a lot of them in airports during layaways and just on flights, and then in like hotels in the evenings before I fell asleep and stuff like that. And they made traveling that much more enjoyable.
Nice.
Books are great.
I got kind of a cheesy shout out. I want to give a shout out to Jason Kruger, who directed Swan Song.
Awesome.
He hella supported me as a performer. This has been a very emotional show, and he supported me and helped me through a lot of things I was dealing with as I was going through this character, and it has really helped me grow as a performer. So, hell's yeah, Jason. Thank you so much.
He's a wonderful human.
Yeah.
My shout out is to That Game Company. That's a company that has made titles like Flow and Flower and Journey. They just released a game called Sky Children of Light for iOS. It's another beautiful title, and yeah, I love their work.
All right. Anything else? Am I forgetting something? It's been a few weeks, so.
Hey, Celso, you're great.
Yeah, you are.
That wasn't it.
Welcome home.
No, we missed you.
Your aim will improve.
Will your jokes?
Nope. Fuck. All right, well, I guess that's our show. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you to Mud for sending in the Fast Five. Woo! Thank you to everyone who listens and downloads and leaves reviews and et cetera, on this show. On behalf of myself and James and Bree and the absent Jenna, thank you so very much for listening. Eat the fucking cake.
Bye, I love you.
Bye. Take it away, Salsa.
Cha. Verbal Jazz Fingers.
Verbal Jazz Fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.